And we're talking on the CBS radio here. We're going to be talking about jerks today. There's a big article in the New York Times. Help, I'm surrounded by jerks. There's an article in today's New York Times about how you deal with jerks, especially in the workplace. And when we read this, we thought it'd be pretty interesting just to have people call in and talk about what jerks you have at work and how you deal with them. 866-570-PEN 7366. You know, I mentioned you were the weatherman.
Yeah.
There was an article in the airline magazine. I had a flight to LA yesterday, and in the airline magazine, there was an article that that the most cited artist in court records is Bob Dylan, because it has become a cliche, or I guess a boilerplate is the word I want. So a boilerplate in court in this country to quote Bob Dylan after experts speak. So an expert speaks, and then the lawyer says, as Bob Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, telling the jury that, you know, they should go with their own thoughts, even though the expert has just agreed with them. So, yeah, like it's 187 citations or something in the major records of Bob Dylan. Pretty cool, huh?
That's good. We should get something like that. We should make something up that every lawyer could just say.
Well, you know, Chip.
Guilty. Chip Gillette says guilty.
Chip Denman. Yeah. Is here, yeah. my good friend,
yes.
And he's in for the Randy conference. And, you know, he said luck is probability taken personally. He said that in an interview.
Which is genius.
And genius. And I've repeated it.
Yeah.
But I started by saying my friend Chip says luck is probability. Mm-hmm. But then that my friend Chip falls away. And then it's just me saying, if you go to the Internet, luck is probability taken personally. Actually, this is a way to win a big bar bet. You know, you say, do you think Penn Jillette said that? No. It was Chip Denman. Help, I'm surrounded by jerks is the article. And you call them jerks, dolts, and nitwits. Psychologists call them difficult people. In fact, they are difficult in so many ways. They've been classified into species like the complainer, the whiner, and the sniper, to name but three. In an age where no problem goes unacknowledged or unaddressed, living with such people is no longer the only choice. Instead, an industry of books and seminars has sprung up, not to help the difficult change their maddening ways, but to help the rest of us cope with them. So if you get a really bad boss, get some way of dealing with them, then just call up. I also want to say, speaking of jerks,
yeah.
Must not go unnoticed, Sylvia Brown.
yes. Glad she's not my boss.
Sylvia Brown is a very bad, evil jerk. No
yeah.
doubt about it. And she's wrong about everything. But sometimes she's wrong in a way that's so bitter and so sad. The kid that was just found, what's his name?
Montel, Sean Hornbeck.
Yeah, Sean Hornbeck. Hornbeck?
The parents were
He was
on...
living with a pizza delivery guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sylvia Brown told Pam and Cram Akers that their son is no longer with us, but she had the impression that his body was in a wooded area about 20 miles southwest of Richwoods. She said it would be near two large jagged boulders that seemed out of place in that area. She also stated that Sean's bicycle is in a dump in another state. Told these parents their child was dead.
She couldn't be more wrong if her name was W. Wrongy Wrongenstein.
And she couldn't be more evil if it was evil H. Evely. Cruella DeVille has nothing on Sylvia Brown. And Sylvia Brown is a real person. She's also the person that said that the miners were all dead and turned out to...
She said they were all fine, actually.
She said they're all alive,
and then they were all dead, didn't she?
Yeah.
Or most of them were dead. Or she's wrong. That's all we're trying to say. She's wrong.
I should have looked this up a little bit before we started spouting about
that. We're wrong. But we're just saying that she's wrong, and we're not wrong about her being wrong. We don't claim to be psychic on this show. So, Godot, you ever had a really bad, overbearing boss?
No. not a chance. What, do you think I'm stupid? My bosses have been great throughout my history.
Did you get fired?
I had a bad one a long time ago. He was really big.
What was he like?
Big guy. Very loud. Seems so loud.
You were fired on Christmas Day by...
I was, by a boss.
By a boss. You don't want to say her name.
Melinda.
Melinda. Melinda, the first lady of bad bosses.
Sylvia Brown was
wrong.
About it.
Maybe someone has a whole list of things Sylvia Brown got wrong. Someone must have that. Isn't there
Somebody's
a website?
Got that.
What's it, Stop Sylvia Brown?
Yeah, StopSylviaBrown.com.
StopSylviaBrown.com. Go there and then read it to us.
You know, we've had Montel. I've met Montel, and he seems like a sensible guy. Why is he letting this nut on? He has to know she's a weasel?
I know. Well, Larry King, too. You know, Larry King knows these people are weasels, and he puts them on.
Larry King doesn't read anything. Maybe he doesn't know. He hasn't seen StopSylviaBrown.com.
You know, Renee points out that Sylvia Brown bites her stinky fingernails. That's what Renee is bothered by about Sylvia Brown.
Yeah, more than the pointing out to these parents that their child is dead.
When he's not.
And then finding him later, and he's fine. How much would you want to hit Sylvia Brown if you told your kid?
You wouldn't care at all about hitting Sylvia Brown. All you would care about was that your kid was
okay.
Yeah,
about 4 years later. like finding the kids 4 years later, 4 years from now, they're going to go, yeah, I got to go. Hit Sylvia Brown. I'll be back in a bit.
I'm going to go kick her ass. I mean, she should just go away.
How miserable would you be? If you believed for a moment that she were an actual psychic and she told you your children were dead, it would be devastating.
But now we've had the test. She said they were dead. They weren't dead. Now nobody in the world would ever believe her again or put her on TV.
It's the end of her career.
We're finished. Sure. We won.
Yeah, we know Sylvia Brown is wrong. We'll never see her again.
Let's take a phone call. We're talking about jerks. 866-570-PEN 7366. Let's hear some good jerky stories. Let's talk to Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Hey there, Penn. How's it going?
Never better, boss. How are you?
I am well. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm great, thanks.
Well, let me tell you, I was on the phone the other day with this guy, and we were in the middle of a conversation, and I must have said something he disagreed with, because he just cut me off with absolutely no warning. He just hung right up on me in the middle of the conversation.
Now, what was it you said? Do you remember anything that could have got him going?
Well, it might have been something along the lines of, monkeys just aren't funny.
Okay, we'll take another call here. We've got Nicole. Let's talk to Nicole. How you doing, Nicole?
Good, how are you?
Good. You've been working with any jerks lately?
Oh yeah. I was actually put into a leadership position at the beginning of the year, and I had just come off of maternity leave, and this guy who started working after I left thought that I was basically underneath him because I started after he did.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know if it was that or if he had a problem with a female, but he was antagonistic. He was mean. He was rude. I'd asked to go over some policies about quality control with him. He didn't pay attention. Well, quality came around and talked to him, and he failed.
Now, you keep saying past tense. What? Was he fired?
No, I ended up leaving because I asked to be taken back. I didn't want that position anymore.
So you're still in the same.
I was being treated.
You're still in the same company.
Yeah. Well, I left and I came back. Yes.
Okay. So you got rid of him by getting rid of yourself, right?
Basically, they wouldn't do anything about it. I went up as far as human resources.
Was there any sort of sexual harassment, or was it just him treating everybody like a jerk?
I'm not sure, but I mean, as far as I knew, he was treating me like a jerk, but I couldn't see how he was treating everyone else because I tried to stay away from him. But
when I
did have to interact with him, it was a mess. I didn't want to deal with him at all.
But do the other people agree with you on this?
Yeah, a couple others because now he's actually treating another employee the same way.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I mean, we're younger than he is, so I don't know if he's set in his ways. He's just a grumpy old man or what. I don't know, but
boy,
he has some issues.
One of the things this New York Times article says is it says having somebody who is really difficult can actually be good for the workplace, says Joe Allen Posner, a researcher at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. If everyone really hates this one person, it becomes the basis of social bonding for the rest of the group. So did it bring the rest of you together a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, we all basically don't like him. So, I mean, in that way, yeah, we're always, you know, talking about, what did he do to you today, you know, and, you know, different things like that. But he's a good worker. I admit that. He works hard, and he's there every day.
Uh-huh.
But he just mistreats so many people, and it's pathetic, really.
But there every day. Do you have a lot of people that don't show up every day for work?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Do you live in Lake Tahoe?
No, I live in Baltimore.
I know that every time it snows, everybody in Lake Tahoe misses work.
Because they ski,
they're
right?
All skiers, yeah.
Okay, okay.
The only reason to live there is because you're a skier. There are no good jobs. So anytime it snows, everybody leaves work. Can't get breakfast.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you get yourself transferred. And enough people get transferred, then they'll probably get rid of him eventually, don't you think? Or put him in a job. We just in a little room and can't bother anybody. But there's a whole article on ways to deal with people. And one of the things they suggest is trying to solve his problems, even if it involves giving him unlikely suggestions like we could kill everyone else in all the other departments. That's one of the suggestions they have there. But thank you.
I actually went to a seminar called Conflict Skills Management for Women.
Uh-huh.
And because of this, you know, before I actually quit.
And they said, show more of your breasts.
It was a joke. It was a joke, really. It didn't do anything.
What kinds of things did they say that were so useless?
Well, they said basically recognize what it is, and it's not him that's the problem, it's you. You need to... And so they go in with a smile on your face, you know, try and blow him off. And, like, I'd already been trying to avoid him, but what more could I do? But...
So then,
it didn't resolve anything.
You went to a seminar that basically said it's your fault.
Yeah, it said to point out, you know, the problems, and it says you're to blame, too, you know, for most of these interactions.
Yeah, well,
it was run by Jerks R Us. You're the fault. You're the problem. That's another blame the victim thing.
Yeah, they love to blame. I'm trying to find that thing from the Talmud that they quote in this, where they kind of say that same... that same thing. I can't quite find it in the article here, but I will find it eventually. But yeah, once again, there's biblical wisdom or Talmud wisdom. Yeah, there's a good quote from the Talmud, says Bruce Elvin, an associate dean and the director of the Career and Professional Development Center at Duke Law School. Quote, "We do not see the world as it is, we see the world as we are." And he says that really is, in my view, sums this topic up. So what he would say, what the Talmud would say, is that what you're seeing in him is actually what's wrong with you. And I don't believe it for a second, Nicole.
I'm on your side. I always try to be nice to everyone.
Sure you do.
Like the total opposite.
I can tell that. I can tell that. Thanks a lot for calling me, Nicole.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Yeah, there are people that will do awful stuff like that. They just hang up on
somebody. They're real jerks. There are a lot of real jerks out there. I had a boss once who used to hang up on people.
Did he really?
Yeah, anytime they said something about monkeys not being funny, he'd hang up on
them.
Okay, what's next? It was weird. Yeah, don't turn the mic off. It's a joke.
Hey!
And we'll take it. We'll take another call here. Let's talk to Lisa.
Hello,
Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Michael Godot's mic is off, so don't talk to him.
Okay. I had a sixth grade science teacher who was a total jerk. Guy about
what? Sixth
forever.
Grade? What do you say? Did you say sixth grade?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade. How old are you now, Lisa?
31.
31.
And you're still bitter.
Wow.
And I still remember it, yeah.
I cannot wait to hear about him. I can't wait to hear about him. I mean, this is like, you know, like Jonesy, you know, our piano player, Jonesy, who is a white jazz musician, who means he's incredibly bitter. He will sit around, his whole family, you know, he called his father once. And was going to complain about something someone had done to him. And his father said, started the sentence like this. This was his father's sage advice. His father said, you know, in 1959, a guy did that same thing to me. And gave his name and hadn't talked to him. So I'm dying to hear how you're feeling about that science teacher from sixth grade.
Well, we were having an open discussion about creationism versus evolution.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And we were all supposed to voice our little... sixth grade opinions, mm-hmm. And I don't even remember what it was that I said. I don't even remember what side I was on, but the teacher actually said if I wanted to hear my back end, and he didn't use the word back end, he used the other word, I'd fart. I never spoke up the rest of school because of that.
And you what? Tell me the rest.
the rest of school, high school, college, I hardly ever spoke up in class because of that one remark.
Wow. For a sixth grade teacher to use that expression is fabulous. I mean, my voice is overwhelmed with emotion. You don't even remember what side you were on.
No, I don't. I just remember the exact words.
That's right. That part burns, doesn't it?
Wow. Wow. That's a, you win so far. You win. You win. Don't.
Well, thank you.
Totally, hands down. And, yeah, I would remember that. Would you remember
that? Oh,
yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I think we were going to try to start to turn this around on look how bitter Lisa is and won't let things go. I think we've turned us around completely. We are now going, we would never,
yes,
ever forget that.
Yes, us in the Talmud.
Yeah.
Are just dead wrong.
That's amazing. And do you remember, of course, you probably don't, but do you remember what side he was on?
No, the biggest thing I remember about it was the topic and the fact that he used that comment, and it almost scarred me for life.
I know,
I barely speak up in meetings at work now.
Wow, but to say that to a sixth grader, I mean, I can kind of sort of see saying that in high school, but to a sixth grader, and that's such a great debate to have it on, too. That's like the perfect debate. I mean, we have to assume, to give him the benefit of the doubt, that he was on the side of evolution.
You think spoke up, teacher, perhaps.
You spoke up with creationism. But, you know, a level of jerkdom that great, he could have been a creationist science teacher, and she could have spoken up with evolution, right? Because I assume...
Like I said, I don't remember.
I assume you believe, you know that it's evolution now, right?
I don't believe in evolution now.
Do you or don't you?
I could go either way. It depends on the day.
Boy, he really did scar you, Lisa.
He did.
You won't even give that simple answer.
I thought for sure you were going to give her that line.
Well, I was thinking about it. But wow, that's just amazing. That's just amazing. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. You know, I was afraid because we had been commiserating with her so much. I shouldn't have even asked the question about evolution.
Yeah, it was going really well.
I know, but if she was on the side of creationism and he was an evolution teacher, I'm just trying to put myself in the position. If he were telling the story, I was teaching
it's
evolution.
Sixth graders, and you asked them for their opinion on evolution. You can't win in that situation. It's not going to go well.
He's just dead wrong.
He's just dead wrong.
Is
no matter what side he was on, he was wrong.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Sixth graders.
I feel better about that.
Unless it was a military academy, and even then it's probably wrong.
Well, a military academy would be by definition wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, they wouldn't have asked you the question. They'd have told you what the answer was.
Yeah. And they wouldn't ask for your opinion. But I will take one more call before we go to break. Let's talk to Catherine. What's up, Catherine?
Hi, Pam.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Never better, boss. What's up?
There are really stupid women that shop, too.
Uh-huh.
I hate women shoppers.
And are you in retail?
I am, actually, yes.
What kind of store? What kind of retail?
I work in a leather shop.
Oh, baby.
Insert joke here.
Yeah, of course. Oh, baby was my joke. Go ahead.
I had a woman come in. I'm a big girl.
Uh-huh.
I'm what they would have called in the 50s, voluptuous.
Okay. What do they call them now? Well, I'll get into that.
Oh, baby was the
this
right choice.
This woman walked in a fabulous silk paisley blouse.
Uh-huh.
And I said to her, God, that blouse is gorgeous. Where did you get it?
Uh-huh.
And this girl looked down her little pointed nose at me and said, honey, where I shop, they don't carry your size.
Wow!
And that's when you hit her?
And you taught her a little bit about mass and how much damage it can do?
No, I smiled at her and said something I can't repeat without getting you in trouble.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Catherine. I'm going to cut you a little short. I'm going to go to a break, but thank you so much. It's 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. If you don't have letters on your phone, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. We're talking about jerks. There's a whole article in the New York Times about how to deal with them. We want to hear what jerks you've bumped into and how you've dealt with them. This is Michael Gudeau across the mic from me and Penn Jillette on CBS Free FM. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the big Free FM, CBS Radio, sitting across from Michael Gudeau, who's sitting here. And we're talking about jerks, mostly jerks in the workplace, but I guess jerks anywhere. Big article in the New York Times about how to deal with them.
In the Styles section.
In the Styles? You're
was? Reading it in the Styles section? The section that had the baby naming thing that you hated so much? You're still reading the Styles section. That's cool.
Well, what I do is I get my mail electronically, and it gets, you know, it's Google News Group.
Sure.
And it throws things in. But I guess I still read the Style section.
You're still reading the Style section.
Yes, I am.
You know, I was going to offer a little bit of advice, and this is something that I have done on a few occasions,
mm-hmm.
is when someone is sarcastic to you, ignore it. Totally ignore
you
the
sarcasm. Do you mean ignore it like they didn't hear it? Or
like,
ignore,
like,
it?
Ignore it like you don't understand sarcasm.
Oh, so oh yeah.
My yes. example, this happened a few times, but the specific one was really great. I was sitting on a washing machine at a laundromat doing laundry with
uh-huh.
a friend of mine, and he and I were sitting and chatting, and the owner of the laundromat came in, and she looked at me, clearly disgusted that I was sitting on her machine, and said, "Would you like me to get you a chair?" And I looked her in the eye and smiled and said very sweetly, "That would be great. A chair would be more comfortable than this." And she spent 15 seconds staring at me and then realized that she had indeed offered to get me a chair. And went and got a chair and brought it back for me.
Yeah. Well, that's always good.
It's a delightful moment.
Yeah, sarcasm, just taking sarcasm seriously, you know,
yeah.
is always a good move. It's always
what
a good
you,
move.
What are you, stupid? I don't think so.
Maybe.
It could
maybe a little.
It could be stupid.
Possible. Maybe.
That's
yeah.
a good idea.
Yeah, maybe
I think I'm stupid.
Did you say someone wrote in and asked if that family could sue Sylvia
yeah,
Brown?
Yeah, somebody wrote in to ask if they could sue Sylvia Brown over this. And that seems great.
That's a good question, isn't it?
That's a great question.
Because they certainly caused mental distress.
It's clearly suffering.
She certainly
it's clearly
did.
A lie.
Yeah, she didn't have any information. And she gave that information. It seems like...
She gave it as if it were true.
Yeah.
As if it were fact.
Or you could at least sue the Montel Williams show, right?
Possibly.
For
they probably
you
have more money
distress.
Than Sylvia. Now you're talking. And who owns Montel? Wait
yeah.
a second.
Oh, let's take another call. This is Brian. Hi, Brian. This is Ben. What are you doing?
Hey, Ben. No, nothing. Just coming into work.
Okay.
Coming
where,
to work.
Where do you work?
I actually work at the CBS station here in Baltimore.
So this is really a busman's holiday. Do you screen calls?
I do.
Would you have let you on?
I think so, probably.
Okay.
I like to let jokers on.
Okay, good. Now, do you work for Don and Mike? We're nicer than Don and Mike, aren't we?
No, they're over in Washington. I'm here in Baltimore.
Okay. I just wondered because I love Don and Mike. Love those guys. So who do you have? Who do you board op for?
Actually, I board op over at our sports station.
Okay, so I wouldn't know.
ESPN Radio 1300.
See, I wouldn't know anything about sports, you know. So what jerks have you been involved with there, Brian?
My jerk was my 12th grade English teacher, Miss Dauber.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna make the mistake this time of saying let it go. Because last time we were dead wrong with it.
This is a grudge I'm gonna hold.
Okay, good. Well, let's help you hold it. What do you got?
She once kept me after class to tell me how much everyone in my class hated me and how I had no friends. but meanwhile, I have a buddy who's standing out in the hall yelling at me, trying to get my attention. The door is wide open, and he's just like, "Hey, Brian, look out here. Look at me." He's busy telling me how I have no friends.
And you're still holding on to that?
Oh, I'll never let go.
And what bothers you about that is the fact that you had demonstrable proof that you had friends, right?
As she was telling me I had no friends, my friend was outside.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Hopping around behind her, making horns on her head.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Thanks
That's
a lot.
A good friend.
Thank you guys. Good
and
show.
It's nice to talk to someone at our sister station in Balmer. Oh, I didn't mean to hang up on him. That was okay. That was all right, right? You know, I heard him start to say something, but too late. The finger.
The momentum.
The finger.
When you have
moved.
A finger as big as yours, yes. It's hard to stop.
I got a 3-pound finger.
You know, I have a jerk boss once who asked everybody to write in when they heard a certain part of a show. And now I get 1,000 emails a day saying, "Hey, I just heard that show."
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to name a name.
You've had some bad bosses.
Yeah.
There's really bad bosses. Let's talk to Joan. What's up, Joan?
Hello, Penn.
How you doing?
I am a postal worker.
Good.
And I am.
We are going to be so nice to you.
Oh, thank you.
We're not going to piss off a postal worker.
That's easily done for me usually, but I'm trying to do better as I get older.
Uh-huh.
We have a person who's in charge of our post office right now, who is a
postmaster general.
No,
okay.
Our individual post office.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He's not the postmaster, because we don't have one right now.
We don't have a postmaster now?
What?
We don't have a postmaster, Jim?
Not in my post office.
Okay,
Every individual post office has its own postmaster.
Okay.
And this guy is a heartless, think of a nasty word. Mm-hmm. I heard him on the phone with his wife. It was just she and I in the office. We were doing something on the computer.
Uh-huh.
And she called because she had to have more surgery for her skin cancer. And he told her that he could not get away from work to go with her. Okay?
Yeah.
And he could get away for lunch or whatever. And
but melanoma was not on the menu for him.
No, that wasn't important enough.
Yeah.
And I mean, a little, and to give you a more history on this guy, my husband had a minor surgery. I'd worked in the morning. They had scheduled for split shift. I asked a week in advance, because I knew my husband was having the surgery, so I could have the afternoon off.
Sure.
The day of the surgery, he asked me why I can't come back to work. Now, I already have the approved leave.
Uh-huh.
And I say, well, my husband's having surgery. And he says, well, your children are older now. Why can't they stay with your husband?
Wow. Well, wait a minute. Neither rain, nor sleet, nor dark of night, nor
right.
melanoma, nor minor surgery on your
no
husband
minor surgery.
Shall stop these
right.
Carriers from...
And this guy actually asked another friend of mine, her daughter was having surgery at a hospital 4 hours away.
There's a lot of surgery in this post office.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, people have stuff.
Sure, of course.
Still done in Indian graveyard.
And she asked him, she put in for the leave, and he said, can't your husband go with your daughter for this surgery?
Wow. Wow.
And you know, my thing was, ask Dr. Penn, how do you deal with someone whose his father was a preacher?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And he's empty inside, like there's nothing in there.
Is he older than you?
About 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's like maybe 52.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not. But he sincerely told one of the other supervisors that his wife doesn't work because that way he knows she's not messing around on him.
Wait a minute. Have you ever seen a porno movie? It's always the wives that are at home, and then they're screwing the pizza guy, the pool guy.
I gather from another conversation we had, he doesn't really allow her to answer the door.
How do you stop someone from answering the door when you're away at work?
I guess if you're stupid enough to be married to someone like this,
then you're stupid enough to answer the door.
Right, you're stupid enough to let them tell you how to live your life.
I think the pool guy's going to bang her. What city are you in?
I'm not going to say because
okay.
I don't know who's listening to this.
I just wondered if it was. I thought it was too cold to have a pool.
Somewhere where there were pools.
It is pretty cold here today.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, of course,
that could be
Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have no idea.
I mean, what is your advice? He clearly has no.
Yeah, this
heart
is not something you can ignore.
But I can't. He's in charge, and I make a lot of money, and frankly, I'm getting paid right now while I'm talking about you. So I don't want to quit this job because I'm free in my car all day, you know?
Yeah, sure. Now, does he have anybody above him?
No.
And there's no human resources?
No, and really, we have no human resources, which is, I think, one of the biggest problems with the Postal Service is we have no human resources. When he does something that's against the contract, we can grieve it.
You know, that sentence... We're the post office, so we have no human resources.
We have no human resources.
Kind of puts a lot of, if you don't know of human resources as employment, but just that sentence on its own, we're the post office, so we have no human resources,
right.
Is a very scary sentence. I don't know what you do when you're in that situation, because the post office is a well-paying job with incredible benefits.
It's a good job. It has good benefits. I like the other people I work with. I love my customers, the people whose houses I visit. You know them, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Sure.
You walk, drive past, you wave at them, you know, you see their kids grow up.
So you're actually a mail carrier?
I'm a mail carrier.
Wow.
Excellent.
Wow. That always seemed like a pretty good job.
That seems like a good job to everybody.
It is a great job. I listen to what I want to listen to on the radio. I listen to you. You know, I listen to my CDs. It is a great job.
And you get to walk a lot and everything else.
Right.
I would say my advice would be shut up and take it, bitch. Let me put this a different way.
my husband's like, can you get tattoos? your wrist, consider the source, and every time he takes you off, just look at your wrist.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. I think you did a good job. You're out there, you're out walking around, you get your headphones on. The little time you have to deal with them, I would just say, you know, turn him into Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. You know, don't even hear
pretend
a thing
you're
he
deaf
says.
In one ear.
And he is, in fact, one of the binding features at where I work because we all hate him so.
Oh, that's
you know,
good.
Because he is, but, you know, they put him in charge.
I know. Well, I got to tell you, all you've done in this whole conversation is convince Godot and I that we want to work with you. It seems like a great job. I'm going to take a little break now, get back to Karen the Mail. Neither rain nor sleet nor dark of night nor jerk bosses shall stop Joan from her point
correct.
Of run.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
okay.
Joe. Thanks so much. I wish I had memorized that whole rain nor sleet nor dark of night nor... what is it?
If only we had some way to look it up on the internet.
If only some way to look it up. We'll try to look that up. And we'll be back after this. 866-570-PEN, 7366. We're talking about jerk bosses. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com.
You know, I had a boss who gave out my password on a radio show
really?
Nationwide. Unbelievable. Yeah.
This is Penn Jillette on CBS Free FM. Yeah, this is Ben Jillette on the big Free FM CBS radio. Sitting here with Michael Godot, and we're talking about jerks you've had.
You know, I'm surprised more of these calls aren't people whispering. Calling from work, you know, he's in the next room. My boss sucks really bad.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, I had a boss once who pretended he was deaf in one ear. So when you were talking to him, sometimes he would just ignore you.
What ear was it?
He was saying something he didn't want to hear. He was
what, the left ear?
Yeah, I think it was.
Me too. I'm pretty much stone deaf in my left ear.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's an odd coincidence.
It is. There's a lot of the things you've been saying. Coincidence.
Yeah. I've had a lot of bosses.
It's wacky.
Being a juggler.
A lot of bosses. let's take another one of these. Let's take another one of these calls here. Let's talk to Pat. Hey, Pat, what's up, man?
Hey, Ben. Hey, Michael. I have a story about some time when I thought some people in traffic were being a jerk to me, and I ended up looking like a jerk as a result.
What'd you do?
Well, I wasn't in my car. I was going to my car. I'm in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I was at an intersection near my home. I was waiting, you know, waiting for the light. The light changed, and as always happens, a couple of cars went on through.
Sure.
But they kept going. More cars just kept going through, and I got angry.
Uh-huh.
And I just, there was a slight break, so I just started walking. And as I'm going, I gave the universal salute, you know.
Sure.
The one-finger salute.
You flipped them off.
That's right. And just as at the moment I flipped them off, I turned and looked at them, and that right then was when I saw the little funeral procession flag on the car.
You are such a jerk.
I know. I immediately started making, you know, apologetic gestures.
What's the apologetic gesture?
There
it's sort of a... sort of grabbing the head and shaking it and waving, and I'm sorry, I didn't know. You know,
just hold down just your middle finger. Just
yeah.
What I love about this, is you're the first one who's called who essentially your story is, I am a jerk.
That's right.
it's just great. But, you know, that is a problem. The other day in traffic, I didn't, the guy was in my blind spot, and I was, of course, on the phone and listening to the radio. And the guy was in my blind spot, and I pulled in, and I, you know, missed him. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I missed him because of his good driving skills, not because of anything else. And I guess I had, you know, a few feet to spare. We weren't going that fast. But there was no accident because he was a skillful and alert driver, right?
Right.
He did everything right. And he honked the horn and flipped me off. And I tried to turn around and agree with him. I kind of tried to do that shrug thing and go, yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah, I know. And now here's the problem. It gets worse than this. He pulls around me, right? And he drives up beside me and he flips me off. And I go, oh, yeah, I know, you're right. It's me. I try to make that gesture. And then he pulls ahead. And then like four lights later... I got it ahead of him again.
Oh, no.
But, now he thinks that I'm stalking him, and he flips me off again, and I do the same thing. So what really is badly needed, and this tells a lot about our society, is we do need a gesture that means I'm out of line, I'm the
jerk. My mistake.
I understand that terribly wrong. And you can do that little smile and wave that can also look snotty.
Right.
You know, you can do the shrug, but once you flipped off a funeral procession, that son of a bitch owed me money. Oh, that's just, well, the thing you can, that you can feel a little bit better about is the fact that the people driving are professionals.
That's true.
And the people that are in the back of the limos are grieving.
And the person who this is all about doesn't care anyway.
The person that you actually flipped off doesn't care at all.
Right.
So you feel a little better. But I wish if I had my time back now, I would reframe the question and have people just call in when they were jerks.
That'd be tomorrow's show.
Tomorrow
will be when you were a jerk.
When you were a jerk.
Are you the jerk at work?
Yeah, well, we got to think about that. If anybody has seen a really good gesture for, I'm a jerk, I was out of line, I apologize. You know, because I use the phrase, sorry, my fault, please forgive me,
right,
all the time. Because if you live like I do, you know, kind of a bull in a china shop and sloppy and loud, you make a lot of mistakes. And as a matter of fact, I'm such a big guy that teller will always laugh at me. Because if I'm standing absolutely still at a store and someone comes up and bumps directly into me and I'm like holding a cup of coffee and I spill it, I turn and say, I'm terribly sorry, please forgive me.
Oh, I do that too.
I always assume everything is my fault. And David Steinberg, you know, the comic, is Canadian, okay? And he said that he goes up to Canada with his daughter, who's 16 years old or 17, or was at the time, and she hates Canada. So he plays a game with her, which is to see how little you can do to a Canadian and make them apologize to you. And the story he told that made me laugh so hard was he was in an elevator with his daughter, and this guy got on the elevator and stood the right distance from them and everything, and David Steinberg, just not even with a frown, looked up and made eye contact with the guy, and the guy went, sorry. And his daughter just could not stop laughing. So I have that gene too, to just apologize to everybody for everything. And it would be really nice if there was a gesture, the anti-finger, that just said, man,
don't,
you know,
flip.
Or maybe when someone flips you off, you should just like turn over and bend over, you know, and just say,
it's hard to do when you're driving, though.
What's that?
That's hard to do when you're driving.
I know, it's really hard. Then you're accused of mooning the person. It's a really tough one. We need a really good gesture, because a peace sign would look like you're being sarcastic.
Yeah.
You know, and hang loose, that just tells the person to calm down. And I love you in sign language. It seems a bit over the top and also looks too much like the heavy metal symbol. We need, maybe it's like you're holding your pinky up saying, you know, I'm a needle hung guy and I really deserve to be beaten up by you, you big, strong, positive person. There has to be some way to be, you know, because dogs, right, they roll over and show their neck.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, that's good. The loser sign on your forehead. You can just put up.
People might think you're calling them losers.
Yeah, boy,
yeah.
It's tough. We don't have enough gestures for trashing ourselves. Well, yeah, Pat's got one. He does it all the time. He's holding a loser up to his head and then pointing. Yeah.
You have to let go. You have to let go of the wheel to do that.
Sorry,
you can't be both hands.
Can't be
you
both
can't
hands.
Let go of both hands on the wheel.
Well, you need to carry a piece of paper that just has "Sorry, my fault. I'm an idiot" or something like that written on it that you can hold up.
Well, yeah, for me, for someone that's doing this kind of stuff 5, 6, 7 times a day, that might be worth it. For the average person, this happens to once a week, you know, they probably need something, you know, the flipping the finger is just a perfect gesture. It's just wonderful. It gives so much information so quickly, and the way you do it, whether it's a double knuckler, you know, with the ear, or that's right down into the hand, or how much you're doing. Yeah, Patrick does the Jersey style, where you fold up the whole hand as deep as you can, have as much finger sticking out. I like the double knuckler, which is where you just at the second phalanx.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Sure.
At the second phalanx, you do it, and then what you do with the thumb is also important, because it seems. There's this way, and Godot does this really well, of flipping people off, where he just kind of
I practiced.
He just kind of half does it. It's just like you're not even worth arching my fingers for. He just kind of does the one finger kind of sticks up above the others. And, yeah, he's good at that.
I'm not a flip-off really kind of guy. I don't flip people off. It's not really oddly enough.
Well, Renee has one. And I have used this now that even she says, make like you're shooting yourself like Bud Dwyer. You know the Bud Dwyer tape where he blows his brains out on tape? I think that's putting a gun to your head and going, or I like to put the gun in my mouth. But either any way you want to do that, you know, I think that's a good gesture. I think Renee has solved it. So after, of course, in a funeral procession, after you flip them off, maybe that comes off
not
as saying, I hope he was shot in the head. It just seems totally wrong. It seems very,
just
very
no
wrong.
No way. There's just no way to correct that one.
No. I think you just had to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You throw yourself under the wheel and give more business to the funeral company.
That's right.
I suppose. Thank you so much for calling, Pat. I love that you called and said I'm the jerk. That takes a really wonderful man. Thank you so much, Pat. Thank you.
You know, apparently there's a sign for sorry in American Sign Language.
What is it?
Which Sue sends in. She says, make your hand in a fist and motion it in a circle over your head. So, you know, make a fist and make circles over your head like you're crazy and you should hit yourself in the head. That might work. That might be good.
That might work. Sorry.
That might be the good.
That's a pretty good one.
It already exists. Look at that. We're solving a problem that already exists.
So,
Once again, if
it's not a funeral, if it's not a funeral procession, you could do the gun to your head. If it is a funeral procession of deaf people, then you could make the American Sign Language sign of going right over your head like that. Think that's a good idea?
I think it's good.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's good. You know what I thought was a good idea was we should all have little like paint gun cannons in our car.
Yeah.
And when someone drives really badly or does something stupid, you could shoot them. And then you would see the cars that were clearly very, very rude or bad drivers because they'd have spots all over.
But, you know, guys like me would just
spots all over your car. And that's good for you, and it's good for us.
No. I would shoot at everybody. That's the problem. Right. Also, I don't want to give the wrong idea. I don't think I'm an exceedingly bad driver. But sometimes, when a lot's going on, I am. I think that may be true for a lot of people. Do you think I'm a seemingly bad driver?
You're no teller.
I mean, everybody thinks you're an above-average driver, but I think I'm an average driver.
Yeah.
Chip, who's in the other room listening, awful driver.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there was one time we were doing Sin City Spectacular. Remember that?
Yeah.
Sin City Spectacular, the writers for that show, Penn & Teller, Sin City Spectacular, were among the worst drivers ever. Remember that?
Yes.
We had Jamie Ian Swiss, who's a wonderful close-up magician, but I taught him to drive when he was 45 years old. He had no control over the vehicle at all. Then we had Coleman Decay, another one of our writers, who would chain smoke and flip his cigarettes onto his clothes and everything and lean right over in the driver's seat and just look for the cigarette butt without even being able to look over the windshield. Then we had Georgie Bernasek, who's our fire eater in the Penn & Teller show. She was also a choreographer and lead dancer for Sin City Spectacular. And I was once riding with her where she took on a three-lane road, she took a left turn from the right lane in traffic, just with no look at all. And she was taking that left turn to do an illegal U-turn on the three lanes the other way. It was just astonishing. It was like watching something out of Smokey and the Bandit, you know? And so we had a lot. So in that, then of course, Teller. And then we had you and me who were, I think you're actually an okay driver.
I think so.
You're pretty
but
good
everybody
driver.
Thinks they are.
Yeah.
So it's hard
and
to tell.
And I would say I'm an average driver. But, I mean, going into the parking lot of Sin City Spectacular was really taking your life in your hands. And that's where we needed the sign so that people could flip us off and then we could put the circle with a fist over our heads saying, sorry, you put the gun to our heads. Although with Coleman Decay, he wasn't even in the driver's seat. He's leaning over looking for a cigarette that's burning his foot. Jamie could know he was wrong, but couldn't control the car to get out of your way. And Georgie, I don't think she knew she was driving. And of course, Teller, he drives like he talks. This is Ben Gillette sitting here with Michael Goudeau, and we'll be here tomorrow. We're going to be here tomorrow.
We'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday. We'll be here tomorrow, and we'll see you all then. And thank you so much. Remember, when you are the jerk, let people know it. Bend over, show them your throat, which of course is contradictory. Wow. Wow. And that sixth grade teacher's